KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
And...
Jason.
That's right. We're here to rock your Monday night.
Woo!
Some awesome geekitude.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing, gents?
Doing pretty good.
Rocking.
Rocking?
Yes. You rocking?
All yeah.
Right. All right. Already.
Woo!
Excellent. If you're not rocking yet, you're going to get rocking, because we got a great show for you tonight.
Oh, yes.
And of course, we always like to start off the show with some new releases. Let's see if we have anything as interesting and as exciting as the first week of January.
Because
we all know January, especially for movies in the theater, which I'm about to tell you, is usually a pretty big month.
Right.
It's huge.
It's a thrilling time of year.
It's gigantic. Speaking of gigantic, we have Human Capital. Human Capital begins at the end, as a cyclist is run off the road by a careening SUV the night before Christmas Eve. As details emerge of the events leading up to the incident, the lives of the well-to-do Bernacchi family, privileged and detached, will intertwine with the Osalas struggling to keep their comfortable middle-class life in ways neither could have expected.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not interested in weaving through lives of people, maybe you like Black Hat, set within the world of global cybercrime. Black Hat follows a furloughed convict, Thor, and his American and Chinese partners as they hunt a high-level cybercrime network from Chicago to Los Angeles to Hong Kong to Jakarta. If you're not interested in seeing Thor do things with computers, but maybe you like talking bears, there's Paddington from the beloved novels by Michael Bond. That's Bond, Michael Bond. Paddington tells the story of the comic misadventures of a young Peruvian bear who travels to the city in search of a home. Finding himself lost and alone, he begins to realize that city life is not all he had imagined, till he meets the kindly Brown family, who read the label around his neck that says, quote, "Please look after this bear, thank you," and offer him a temporary haven. If you're not interested in talking bears, but maybe like movies about weddings, there's The Wedding Ringer, not singer, ringer. Doug Harris is a lovable but socially awkward groom-to-be with a problem. He has no best man. With less than 2 weeks to go until he marries the girl of his dreams, Doug is referred to Jimmy Callahan, owner and CEO of Best Man Incorporated, a company that provides flattering best men for socially challenged guys in need. And last but not least, little accidents. When a teenage boy goes missing in a small town already devastated by the fatal mining accident, three strangers find themselves drawn together in a tangle of secrets, lies, and the collective grief of the community.
Oh, man. Well, if the theater options aren't thrilling you, but you had some that you missed in theaters, you might be able to catch them on Blu-ray and DVD. Here is a small selection of some of the things you can find. There is Gone Girl on Blu-ray and DVD. On his fifth wedding anniversary, Nick Dunn reports his wife missing. The fallout that follows takes the news by storm, especially as more details of their marriage come out. Many even suspect Nick to be the reason his wife disappeared. Then there's Jezebel on Blu-ray and DVD. To help her recover from a horrific traffic accident, Jezebel returns to her hometown, but there's a dark spirit there that has been waiting for her to return. Then there's The Middle of Nowhere on DVD. Ruby has a bright future, medical school, and a new marriage, but it's all gone tragically off the rails, and now she is separated from the man she loves by a maximum security prison. This story follows her path from broken to made new. Then there is A Walk Among the Tombstones on Blu-ray and DVD. A former NYPD officer now works as an unlicensed PI, working at the very edge of the law. When he accepts to help a drug trafficker track down a group that killed his wife, he finds a string of similar crimes. and there is no black nor white. There's only shades of gray out here. The Scorpion King number 4. You didn't ask for it, but you got it. Scorpion King number 4, The Quest for Power.
Ooh, that's a mighty quest.
Mm-hmm. On Blu-ray and DVD, after taking his crown in The Scorpion King, The Battle for Redemption, yes, there was a third one, Mateus now strives to bring a lasting peace to his people, but betrayal leads him to face one that he trusted in a battle to the death. Excuse me. Death.
Always with the betrayal.
Mm-hmm. And the death. Lots of death.
Okay, meanwhile, betrayal in video games. We bring you the DLC for Assassin's Creed Unity, Dead Kings. It's coming for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and PC on January the 13th. The only game that's coming to the consoles this week, because it is beautiful January, is Monopoly Deal. PlayStation and Xbox ecosystems or consoles are going to have them also on January 13th. Meanwhile, on PC, Tengami is being released on the 15th. Set in Japan of ancient dark fairy tales, Tengami is an explorative adventure game full of wonder and mystery. Players explore a beautifully paper-architected pop-up world that folds and unfolds their fingertips to solve puzzles and make progress. Tengami has a striking minimalistic art style inspired by traditional Japanese arts and crafts.
Wow. Very cool. So let's see, from video games to one of our other forms of favorite visual media that also involves paper, just like Tengami, although it's digital paper. You might be digital if you collect your comics that way. It's from DC. That's from Dark Horse. It's Conan and Red Sonja, Age of Innocence, number one, although considering those two in Age of Innocence is a strange thought. Anyways, the story spans...
Conan is innocent in his own way.
I guess so.
The red hair that does it.
the story spans many points where their lives have crossed, and the camaraderie that can only come from lives shared on the battlefield. From DC, it's Batman Eternal number 41. Scott Snyder is and other writers are penning this tale, and the narrows The Nero's on turmoil, and the rest of Gotham is in a state. Red Robin is race against time against the nanites. From Marvel, we're going to go with Star Wars number one. It's a little known storyline you might not have heard of. Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo, and Chewbacca, and our favorite droids, and the rest of the Rebel Alliance as they strike out for freedom against the forces of Darth Vader and his master, the Emperor.
So it's the original story?
It looks like it's a relaunch of the old stories, but I think they have updated the art.
Okay.
That's what it looks like anyways. From IDW, you might consider Star Trek number 40. There's a little star theme there. The fate of the past, the present, and the future are at stake. Kirk, Sisko, and Spock face off against the mad Cardassian Gal Dukat to discover the secret behind Q's machinations in their timelines.
Man, those Cardassians are all over the place.
Yeah. Let's see. Over from Boom Studios, let's go with Adventure Time, A Marceline Gone Adrift, number one. Marceline is on a rampage for mysterious reasons, and the Kingdom of Ooh is desperately scrambling to stop her. In trying to save Ooh, Marceline herself, Princess Bubblegum, accidentally propels Marceline into the furthest reaches of space and removes all of her powers. Dun, dun, dun. And I think that will... Just to round out Image, it's The Walking Dead number 136, New Walking Dead. You know, that's pretty good stuff.
Nice. Now, are we sure the Star Wars is just retellings, or are they new adventures like between the first movie and the Empire?
This description does not say. Based on what little I have to work with here, it sounds like it's sort of it's an adaptation, a comic book adaptation of the Star Wars.
Of A New Hope.
Yeah, of A New Hope going.
We'll try and scrounge up some more information on it.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, we move on to music now. We've got a new album from Justin Townes Earl called Absent Fathers, the sixth full-length studio release for the country rock singer-songwriter, which was originally intended to be part of a double album with 2014's single Mothers. We have a new album from Meghan Trainor called Tidal, debut full-length release, not to be confused with her 2014 EP of the same name, for the pop singer-songwriter who gained fame with her single All About That Bass. Features guest appearances from John Legend and Shy Carter on the deluxe edition. We have a new album from Panda Bear. Panda Bear Meets the Grim Reaper. Fifth full-length studio release for the Animal Collective co-founder was co-produced with Peter Kemberg. And then we have a new album from Dan Mangan called Club Meds. Canadian singer-songwriter Dan Mangan returns as Dan Mangan plus Black Smith for his fourth overall full-length album, and it was produced by Colin Stewart. And then last, we have an album from Mark Ronson called Uptown Special. It's the fourth full-length release for the singer's producer, was co-produced with Jeff Basker, and features guest appearances from such artists as Bruno Mars, Mystikal, Tame Impala's Kevin Parker, Stevie Wonder, and Andrew Wyatt. So there you go, just a handful of some new releases here and there all across the geeky hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to do it for new releases. And of course, what we like to do is tell you how you can participate on the show, because we love when you do.
That's right. If there's something that we mentioned or neglected to mention that you would want us to, you know, highlight, or that you want to highlight, please let us know by going to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or going to twitter.com/robotsattackme. And finally, the other good way to get a hold of us is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Those are the three best ways to get a hold of us right now.
That's right. And if you just want to say hi or comment on the topics we will be discussing later on in the show, speaking of topics, news topics, want to tease the folks while we go into music?
Sure. How about Back to the Future? There's aspects of Back to the Future Part 2 that may become reality.
What?
Yes.
Better be hoverboards. Better be. Otherwise, I'm going to hold you personally responsible.
Better be pants with permanently pulled out pockets.
Ooh. I forgot about that. That's pretty good. Okay. Well, I can't do better than pants with permanently pulled out pockets, but I can give you a story about robots that draw.
Ooh, nicely done.
Nice. All right, well, you'll definitely want to tune in and stick around for those right after this music break here on Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
Want to listen to KSCU even when you're not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want at www.ksu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website. And never be without the underground sound.
Pro tip.
Faster, do a search for our call letters KSCU and not 103.3 FM, because that's not unique to our station, but KSCU is distinct on the globe to us.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook and check out the website at robotsattack.me.
That's right. Welcome to the news here in Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara. And Jason has our first story.
Yes. Now, I'm sure everybody has enjoyed a day or two here and there where they've went out on the beach and made sandcastles and just drawn sand and whatnot. Well, you don't have to do that anymore, because the robots will do half of those things for you.
Which
they won't build sandcastles, but they will draw on the beach for you. Thanks to Disney and a company called ETH Zurich. Together, they combined their unholy powers to create BeachBot. It's basically a Roomba looking little thing that's made to look like a little cartoon turtle. It's got kind of big fluffy wheels on it so that it doesn't leave any tracks on its own on the beach.
Oh, interesting.
But then it has these little tines on the back that basically scrape on the ground like fingertips that allow it to alter different widths of lines that it can scrape on the beach. So you can go the old-fashioned RC car method and rip it up with this thing and draw your stuff that way. Or you can just simply program a picture into the thing and it will basically draw whatever you want on the beach. Hopefully something tasteful.
That's never going to happen.
Anyway, you can imagine why Disney is interested in something like this, because they have plenty of beach resorts, which is very nice to be able to have a little robot that can make all sorts of funny little cartoon drawings on your beach resort.
Mm-hmm.
But
big hit with the kids, I'm sure.
Right. But I'm sure they're interested in selling it to other beach resorts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being thrown around as an idea for something as kind of a survival kit as well, to be able to write like SOS type things and so on.
Okay.
But yeah, mostly it just is kind of cool.
and kind of adorable.
Do you think it will appear in a Disney cartoon at some point?
It's not quite that cute. It's working on it. Mm-hmm. Maybe Beach Pot Points 02 or something like that. Okay. I don't know.
Maybe not its own, like, starring cartoon, but, like, in the background of a cartoon or something? Or
I can see that, yeah.
That could work.
Supporting definitely. Cast.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be upstaged by, at that point, Sandcastle Making Bot, I'm sure. So
Wall-E 3, Wall-E's Revenge or something.
Right.
Wall-E. So from robots that draw on the sand to the mechanical devices that make our lives better, in a way. So when one of the kind of more memorable moments of Back to the Future Part 2 was in the future, the self-tightening laces on the Nike shoes.
Okay.
Nike is actually working on this.
What?
They are, at least from as near as I can tell, just this close to making these like a commercial product.
And since you can't see at home or in your car, he held his fingers very closely together when he said that.
Mm-hmm. It may be a little bit further away than we all would like as an actual, like, you know, $100 pair of shoes kind of thing, but it may actually drop onto shelves at some point in time in the near future, which is equal parts awesome and a little bit frightening at the same time. Although it would be appropriate because 2015 was the year where these shoes appeared in the future. So it'd be sort of prophetic. Although we don't have the flying cars from Mr. Fusion, so we're still down on those. But yeah. Hey, self-tightening lace shoes are totally awesome.
Little baby steps. We're getting there.
Yep.
This is an in-joke just for me, but you're prophetic.
Well, from self-tightening shoes, which is tech, that's not quite here. Here's some 3D tech that is here.
Oh, nice.
And it's not for a person.
Huh?
It's for a dog.
Nice.
One lucky dog is getting his stride back after being fitted with custom 3D printed paws and legs.
Nice.
Derby, a mutt believed to be mostly husky, was born without fully formed front legs. So if you can imagine, like, little kind of puppy legs that just never grew.
Like
T-Rex.
Sort
of stopped. Yeah, kind of okay. Like that. Instead, the dog has small elbows that left him pitched forwards as he tried to run and play with other dogs. Quote, he was scooting around on these nubs and chest, said Melissa Hannon, who rescued Derby through her organization, Peace and Paws. After taking in Derby from his original owners in Alabama, Hannon placed the pup with a foster owner, Tara Anderson, a director of product management at a company focused on developing 3D products called 3D Systems. On the first day that Hannon matched Derby with Anderson, she hoped that they could figure out a way to get Derby fully on his feet. Quote, I think it was a vision, Hannon said, of the plan to create 3D printed prosthetic legs for Derby. No one knew if it would work or if it would take. As Anderson cared for Derby, she also started to work with people at her company to design prosthetics for Derby. We start him off very low, so it wouldn't be too drastic, Anderson said of Derby's first model on the 3D Systems website. This summer, which would be last summer, since
right.
That would be the future.
Right, because of dog years and whatnot.
Yeah. And the changing of 2000.
Mostly dog years.
Exactly. Derby was matched with his permanent owner, Sherry and Dom Portanova, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, I should say. The couple said Derby could get around using a wheeled cart, but because it replaced his front legs, it was hard for him to move around or interact with other dogs. So when Derby was given his first prosthetic caps, they were little more than caps to cover and protect his elbows as he scooted around. He took to those immediately, Sherry Portanova told ABC News. They have cushions inside that meant he could go run on driveway and concrete. Anderson kept working with engineers at 3D Systems to fine-tune the prosthetic limbs. One model looked like peg legs, according to Portanova. It didn't quite work when Derby tried to run around. Yeah.
But it was adorable.
Doop, 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 doop.
A little bit difficult to balance on little things.
Yeah.
Points.
Like, these don't probably, like, don't bend or, you know, they're not curved. They're, especially if they're just straight. Like,
yeah.
But, however, the next model Anderson designed, a long looping prosthetic, seemed to be just right for the energetic Derby. As soon as Derby tried them on, Portanova said the dog just took off. The first time he was, he had them on, he took off running. He was so happy, she said in the video for 3D Systems. I was absolutely amazed at how well he did. Now the dog runs every day with the couple. She hopes Derby's story encourages owners to adopt disabled pets. He's such a good dog, and he lives a full life, she said. He's very special. Everybody who sees him just loves him. Probably helped, you know, if you be cool if they had some disabled dogs, if they some other 3D company, like, hey,
yeah,
help out. It's cool that it's not just branching out to people, but to animals.
Yeah, yeah. We're using technology to improve life for everyone on the planet, not just ourselves.
Exactly. And like many of our stories that we tell, have pictures or videos. This one has a video.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Caleb, since people are driving or
yes.
know, maybe not be able to look at videos,
if you
especially
wish,
if they're driving.
Yes, if you're driving, don't try and look at this. But when you get home or to a place where you can safely stop and watch, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or go to twitter.com/robotsattackme. We post all of our story links there, so you can kind of keep up what we're talking about. Or if you're hearing it and think that sounds really cool, you can go back and find it and enjoy the joy of a small dog running or a little robot drawing in the sand.
Or shoes lacing themselves,
mm-hmm.
tying themselves.
Yeah.
At some point.
Or yes. a robot lacing the shoes onto a dog's prosthetics.
I think you tortured this one just a little bit too much.
But here's something that isn't.
What's that?
Much. San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Very cool.
Nice segue. The awkward silence of, who should go next?
No. Okay. Here's something that I don't think anybody was expecting other than maybe Harmonix itself. And that is Harmonix is getting the band back together.
Woo! Wait, what does that mean?
Out of the blue, Harmonix released a set of songs for Rock Band 3 and Rock Band Blitz.
Huh.
After nearly 2 years, 21 months to be precise,
mm-hmm.
of not supporting the games by
right.
adding new content, they, out of the blue, decided to do this. The winning songs are Are You Mine by the Arctic Monkeys, Something from Nothing from the Foo Fighters, and Shepherd of Fire by Avenged Sevenfold. Mm-hmm. So, hey, maybe we have more to look forward to. Apparently, Harmonix has already made a statement saying we have no solid plans to do this like week to week again. So they're just trying it out.
Yeah.
They're testing the waters.
Don't expect it, but enjoy it when it comes kind of thing.
Right. So basically go out there and download the crud out of these and then maybe we'll get them back on a more regular schedule. If people are into that.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, whoa, what? Huh? Like, this scene kind of came out of nowhere. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Nobody had any clue about it whatsoever. They pulled a the Telltale Games on everybody.
Seriously. I didn't notice any, but did they give any reasoning behind these particular songs, or just here's some new songs? Or
apparently they just saw the opportunity is all I've seen from the stuff.
Oh, okay.
That I can see so far. Yeah.
Because I know, like, what they're like the last song they did that.
I mean, me having to guess, and this might be completely wrong, is that a lot of these companies, whenever they're going between projects, they have a bunch of people that they need to keep busy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's probably kind of a perfect little thing to have people between projects put together a DLC for something like that. So it's probably going to be spotty, but it's something for them to make a little bit of money off of and keep their people busy. So,
no. And it'll continue to support things that are still really good. Like the Rock Band series has been really solid all the way through. So having a little more of that probably doesn't make anybody sad.
No. Yeah, we'll see. See how well it sells.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Let's see. So from things being being resurrected from near extinction, I guess you could say. This isn't quite the same. There is a certain amount of extinction that went into the beginning of this story because it involves dinosaurs, particularly Utah raptors.
Just a little bit of extinction.
Yeah, Utah raptors. But some researchers, while digging up a what appears to have been a quicksand pit in I can't remember which national park, but there's a
Utah National Park.
One of their several ones.
Painted Valley, Utah.
I can't remember precisely.
Quicksand National Park.
I don't think it was that one. But anyway, they found a cluster of dinosaurs altogether, like several Utah raptors and an iguanodon, and I think one more. I can't remember the name of right now.
Were they friends?
That's the question.
Okay.
Because, like, if all of these are from the same general time frame, like, they all, like, kind of effectively fell in together, like, they might have been a flock, perhaps? Like, Jurassic Park kind of implies in the way that the raptors operated in that movie, which was a theory that people have had, but there hasn't really been a lot of evidence to support it other than, you know, the seemingly natural progression from bird to... Or from dinosaur to bird.
And how animals just work in general, it seems like.
Yeah. So, there's like kind of like logical reasoning that comes to this, but no real like scientific proof that says this is how it was. This may not prove that was so, but it's an interesting situation because there's a bunch of these dinosaurs packed together in this one little location. So many, in fact, that they had to actually like mass exhumed the whole lot of them because as they started to like cut away to extract one dinosaur, they found out they were actually digging into another dinosaur. So they kept like
It was like a turducken or something like that.
It might have been dinosaurs on dinosaurs on dinosaurs.
Right.
But
it's a barbecue for T-Rexes.
it could be, but it'll be interesting to see what additional information that is drawn out as the researchers actually start to unpack quite literally these fossils, and hopefully we'll actually get the answer to the question of did they actually flock. So there you go.
It's what's always been on my mind.
Did the dinosaurs flock?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my story doesn't have anything to do with dinosaurs per se.
Oh.
But it does involve something or someone who was retired.
Oh.
Dinosaurs are sort of retired by being dead.
Right.
Yeah.
For a very long time.
Yeah. They're retired from life.
Yes. There you go. This person is not, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Batkid Begins lures Star Wars poster artist Drew Struzan out of retirement. The artist behind some of our favorite classic movie posters, says You article, including Star Wars, has come out of retirement to create an original poster for a documentary about 5-year-old leukemia survivor Miles Scott, a.k.a. Batkid. Deadline reports that legendary movie poster artist Drew Schrutzen has created the poster for the crowd-funded documentary Batkid Begins, The Wish Heard Around the World, pro bono.
Nice. Ah, very cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. The article has a picture of it, obviously, which you can check out by all those places that Caleb has mentioned, our Facebook.
And the Twitters.
And Twitters. Batkid Begins chronicles San Francisco's transformation into Gotham so that Miles Scott or Batkid could live out his dream of spending a day with his favorite hero. The documentary will premiere January 24th at the Slam Dance Film Festival. Over the course of his long career, Schrutzen has worked on some of Hollywood's most beloved franchises, including Indiana Jones, Back to the Future, and Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But he's perhaps best known for his promotional work on Star Wars, and rumors suggest he might also come back for the new films.
What? That would be kind of awesome.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to find out. I recently got looking at some of the, they have a little bit of the cover artwork in some as part of the Indiana Jones collection on the new Blu-ray collection, and so you get there's some of the old artwork on there. It's really good, and like
especially that Crystal Skulls one. That's
so continuing on.
Yeah, like, the, I agree. That's a good one.
Man,
the but anyway, like he there was someone else I was talking to who also deals
loved
with
Crystal Skull too. Man, that's a good
in
one.
In the sort of
swinging with the monkeys and the aliens and that's cool. Giant ants.
Conceptual art department and
conceptual
the he actually got to know meet this artist and when he walked into it, he hanging out in his studio, he actually was working on a Harry Potter poster.
Okay.
And there all around him was like 15 or 20 like fully rendered oil paintings that was preliminary paintings for the final became the poster. Like this guy does like works incredibly fast and incredibly detailed, like just does miss really, really good work. So very
nice.
Cool.
Jeez. Okay. Something that I wish would have a poster like that, but I doubt it will because it's a television miniseries.
Oh.
But it still sounds absolutely awesome to me. Because it's effectively Loki versus House MD.
What?
You heard me.
Dr. Gregory House versus
Okay, maybe Loki. Not exactly like that. But
versus the North
it's Lupus.
God.
Right.
It's never Lupus.
Right. Loki is representing Lupus. Basically, BBC One, The Ink Factory, and AMC, the powerhouse that it is at this point, are teaming together in order to make a miniseries based on the classic espionage drama, The Night Manager. They're making a miniseries out of it. The main character is going to be played by Tom Hiddleston, and he's effectively going to be somebody trying to get through a shadowy conspiracy at an arms dealer named Onslow Roper, played by Hugh Laurie.
All right. Well, there you are then.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to see Hugh Laurie as an outright bad guy, since he played like the bad guy, good guy for like a decade or so. So I think much fun can be had.
Benedict Cumberbottom, he does a good impression of Tom Hiddleston.
I understand they're friends or something like that. They hang out.
Yeah.
So
that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I imagine all the British actors are like
right. They're all just chummy.
Yeah. I'm going to go look that up now. Let's see. So not really into any of that. Toyota has opened up a bunch of their hydrogen fuel cell patents. Not unlike Elon Musk opening up a lot of the patents around the Tesla powertrain and quick recharge stations, Toyota has opened up several thousand of their patents regarding hydrogen fuel cell cars.
Oh, okay.
So the race for the future of clean energy and clean driving just got a little bit more interesting in certain ways, and expiring manufacturers out there will, or other majors will take advantage of these open patents and create
more awesome things that are actually compatible with each other, because
yeah.
the last thing we need is another standards war.
Yeah.
Blu-ray and HDVD taught us nothing, apparently. So,
yeah, I remembered thinking that, like, I saw a random McDonald's in between here and Sacramento that had a recharging station, but it had, like, a brand name to it. So I was thinking, like, okay, so what does this go with? Because it doesn't sound like it fits with something specific.
Yeah, I think there's a number, thankfully, it seems like most electric cars have agreed upon a certain type of standard for their plugs, it seems like, because I've seen that at a couple of other locations where it's like, recharge your car while you're at shopping at Whole Foods or what have you. So it sounds like there's like maybe
I can't
like
imagine them doing something like that.
Two or three different nozzles that are compatible with most of the cars. It looks like there was, I think I saw two different cords coming off of the station, and it looked like it was for one parking spot. So.
I'm just imagining like giant keychain like adapters. It's like I gotta carry it around for my car just in case I gotta recharge at McDonald's.
Or you walk up to the you have to go to the front desk and like ask for the charger connector.
Right. That's even better, and it's like attached to a roll of toilet paper or a plunger. Oh, that's awesome.
Or something of that nature.
Oh, I'm going plunger all the way.
But seriously, Toyota, good on you for opening up
cool,
hydrogen
yeah.
fuel cell technology, because that's kind of the other major potential source, because that can be drawn out of a number of different sources that are clean burning and not too difficult to manufacture, especially if someone's kind of done the hard work for you, so to speak. So
nice.
Yes, there you go.
I heard something, too, that not about cars, but sort of along the lines of the like bullet train from SF to LA or something, like it's moving forward even more now.
So. I heard about that, so that's will
cool.
be interesting.
Gonna
yeah.
get that in 2025.
It's just around the corner.
Meanwhile, that trip from Fresno to Stockton is going to be speeding.
And we'd have these things sooner if, people were smart about that kind of stuff and not like, no, let's not spend money on things that would actually be good to spend money on. Hey, anyway, speaking of spending money, my next story is a Star Wars standalone movie loses writer Gary Whitta.
Dope.
But before you say dope.
Oh?
Gary Whitta, the writer on the Gareth Edwards-directed Star Wars standalone movie, has left the project after completing a first draft.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you're familiar with screenwriting, the movie process, that happens quite a bit.
Mm.
So, if you're thinking like, maybe something bad happened, most likely, no. Usually, they hire a writer who writes the first draft, and then they move on to another project.
Mm-hmm.
And they hire another writer to come in and
finish it,
work on the second draft, that sort of thing. I mean, it all kind of just depends on what the deals are, that sort of thing. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, it didn't sound like there were any hurt feelings from what I'd seen.
Yeah. According to The Hollywood Reporter, a new writer will likely be hired to take over for Whitta, who is moving on to his next project, an adaptation of the Mark Millar comic Starlight.
Interesting.
Gary has been a wonderful inspired contributor and enjoyed working with him tremendously, said Edwards in a statement. I'm so grateful for all of his contributions. Whitta added, the year I spent working with Lucasfilm on this Star Wars film has been by far the most rewarding period of my entire career. As a lifelong Star Wars fan, I'm deeply grateful to have had the rare opportunity to contribute to a new chapter in its ongoing cinematic legacy. The film is going to be amazing. There's still no like definitive word on what this particular standalone is going to be about. There's rumors of it being like a heist film with bounty hunters, but there's been nothing set in stone. So, but this particular one will be released in December 16th of 2016.
So they gotta get cracking on that to get those effects done in time, probably.
Yeah.
No, they've already got all of them done.
Yeah.
Now they just have to build a story to link them all together.
Yeah.
They've been done since the prequels.
Oh, man.
It's possible.
The unfortunate part about that is he's like, oh, it's actually probably not so far from the truth in a lot of ways.
Speaking of the truth, you are listening to KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound, Robots Attack. Anyone else have any more stories?
I do have one final story. Alrighty. And it's basically about Supergirl interacting with Flash and the Arrow, since it's all in the same sort of universe. Apparently, the answer right now, since they announced that the Arrow and the Flash are going to have yearly crossovers, and now that they're starting up a Supergirl series, is they're not going to interact whatsoever.
Wait, what?
And that's apparently they want to do their own thing, is the way it sounds.
Oh, okay then.
I can sort of understand, because it's kind of a different rank of superhero in a weird sort of way.
Yeah, whenever you bring the big S to the table, it tends to change things a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want to water down the Flash or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Seriously.
But yeah, that's all I got on that.
Yeah, I guess it was something like they shared one of the same producers or something, and so there was talk of like, oh, maybe there'll be like some sort of crossover thing. And
yeah, the main thing that people were kind of shattered about it for, from what I understand about it, is that that producer has made a really big effort to connect all of his stuff, including spawning a new cartoon series that's going to be solidly in that realm.
Oh, interesting.
And he's going to spawn it on CW's internet-based service called Seed. Hmm. I don't know anything about Seed. I haven't even heard of it until this news came out. But because the news came out that they were going to do the yearly thing between those two and spawning a new one, everybody was clamoring for the Supergirl, and apparently no can do'sville.
Ah, well, that's unfortunate. But it'll be interesting to see. Like, also, I think they're also kind of holding their breath a little bit to see how Justice, or the Batman-Superman crossover leading into the Justice League movie, turns out, because that will also kind of like cement some of these heroes as a unified force also.
Maybe, but since they're trying to keep this very much separate than all of that stuff, I don't know how that's going to... Maybe they're trying to do it as far as seeing how the trends are going.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's what I was implying, that they were trying to test the waters to see if the idea would hold water or not.
True, true.
See, I got one more that I want to throw out there, because I think
go it's for it.
Way
throw
cool.
Away.
It's one of my my favorite topics.
I mean, just throw.
Because it's space. And it's our... And
that's
actually,
where Supergirl is from.
Mm-hmm, and it connects back to Elon Musk as well with my earlier story, because it's about SpaceX. And they are working on a... what's effectively a... It's not so much a retrieval system as it is a way to reuse rockets.
Yeah.
As it is now...
We had a story once before about the current technology that he had, and you had thought that it was reusable, and it turns out that was the old Russian space technology. So this is the next tier stuff, where it's actually actual reusable.
Yeah, this is part of the Falcon 9, it's related to the Falcon 9 project, which they are currently trying to launch again after the first one exploded over Texas, unfortunately. Yeah. But this is also what the early days of space flight is like. It's going to be a little bit rocky. Thankfully, these are all unmanned vehicles right now. But this is how we work out the bugs. But anyway, the main thing is that they have sent a drone-controlled barge out into the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, effectively. And they're going to try and land the next Falcon 9 rocket onto this barge.
Mm-hmm.
This hasn't worked before. And the researchers are saying that they're currently setting it around 50% success. But if they can even get close to it, they're already that much further along on making this genuinely work, no questions asked. And that's, I think, just totally awesome that we're progressing to the point that we're not like looking at rockets as being not so much disposable, but like they're not
just making good use of the materials and time and effort and potentially building better versions of all of these things so that they will last longer, so that we can go deeper into space and reuse and so on and so forth, extend the reach of what space travel can actually do. So I think that's pretty wicked cool.
Yeah, 50% is not bad, actually.
Yeah, that's astonishingly high considering what they're trying to do, which is hit a dot on a very large surface with a slightly larger dot. So, very cool. Best of luck to you, SpaceX, and all of them.
Gotta channel that leaf on the wind.
Mm-hmm. See how I soar.
Alrighty, that's going to do it for the news portion of Robots Attack. We'll be back with some geek talk right after this music break. Caleb, mm-hmm. Why don't we tell them again how they can participate on the show, as well as check out the articles that we mentioned, just in case they're tuning in now and missed the news portion.
That's right. If you missed missed out on the news, but you got enough, you want to find out what all we talked about, you can go back in time by going to facebook.com/robotsattackshow and or twitter.com/robotsattackme. In those streams, you will find the stories from this week and past weeks as well, if you want to go back further. But you can comment, you can like, you can share it with your friends. Let people know about the cool things that are going on that you think are cool as well.
Alrighty, we'll be back with more Robots Attack right after these music songs that you will now hear in your ears, because I'm going to play them. Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. Hopefully that song didn't put you to sleep. If it did, we're here to wake you up, because we are in Geek Talk.
Yes.
And Caleb has some awesome news from CES.
That's right. CES, in case you are unfamiliar with that acronym, stands for Consumer Electronics Show. And what's kind of interesting about CES over the past few years is that the idea of what a consumer electronic is has expanded greatly from like what it's been traditionally, which is TVs. Which is not to say that
people are pretty satisfied with TVs at this point, and they know they're smart and whatnot, so time to move on to other things.
Well, also it's a place to as like the things like the Internet of Things, which is where everything is interconnected through the internet to each other and is sort of smart by default. Or just there are things that...
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah, that you may not have realized were considered a home electronic, like, say, a clothes washer. And that's one of the first ones that I thought was actually kind of interesting, because Samsung has released a new line of clothes washers, and it has done something which seems like it should have been painfully obvious years ago, but no one seems to have done it until now, is that you have front-loading washer on top, and then underneath it, you have a drawer in which you have a very shallow, small washer for those things that require special attention or are just more delicate and you don't want to put through a normal wash cycle. This may not sound like super innovative, but it's space saving, pretty energy efficient, and it will also protect your clothes and make them last longer, which is winning all around. I think that's kind of the nice thing about with some of these shows, is that mundane things get a little bit of spotlight time where they show off stuff about them or with them that you may not have realized were actually kind of cool.
Does that one connect to the internet somehow too, or no?
I think it actually might have...
It tweets you when your bras are dry or done washing?
It might do something like that.
Okay.
I only got kind of a taste of what the story was about when I was going through my feed, because CES has several thousand several hundred vendors showing off a menagerie of things, everything from 4K TVs down to autonomous drones, over to self-driving cars, over to
self-parking cars.
Yeah, those two. But like the And that's one of the other big trends is the car. Like a couple of years ago, like a new audio manufacturer started to show up at the show, and it was kind of like, oh, well, that's cool that the Ford is here. I'm not entirely sure why. Oh, Ford Sync. Okay, that's kind of, it's actually really cool technology, but like it was sort of like
unusual for Ford to show up at CES.
Mm-hmm. Plus, last year, Ford had the self-parking car.
Mm-hmm. But, like, Ford...
Like, an affordable one, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this year, Ford, BMW, Chevy, or Chevrolet, to be specific, and... all of the major manufacturers had something at the show that was a vehicle. Mm-hmm. BMW was showing off some of their new
self-parking cars.
Technically, yes, but they were self-parking in so much as they were environmentally aware. Like one of the news sites was part of the demonstration was they actually like rented out the top of a parking structure, and they had several of their vehicles out there, and then they had a bunch of like foam blocks, effectively, and then they were painted, and they said, "All right, just gun the car at that at those blocks." And the driver was kind of, the author was sort of like, "Wait, what? Gun it, go for it." And eventually, he got up the nerve to punch the engine and like try and ram these boxes, and it would not. It couldn't. It would accelerate like you would expect, and then when it detected that danger was nearby, it would slow down and park. It would stop itself before something went terribly, terribly wrong.
I smell like an awesome James Bond.
Yeah, that's just what I was thinking.
In the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be so awesome.
Trying to ram. Parks.
It won't let me run over the bad guy. So he has to figure out a way to like override the system or something.
Yeah. So like
convince it that it's just parking.
So that's like one of the bigger kind of things, and I mentioned earlier that Toyota was talking about their patents. That was also part of their CES announcement. They were rolling out some new cars. Mercedes-Benz rolled up what they claim is the future of self-driving cars, where the front seats don't even point forward. It's all the seats point inward, so that everyone can sit and talk to one another while the car does all the heavy lifting.
Okay.
Who was it? Was it Hyundai? I can't remember which manufacturer it was now, but one of the manufacturers sent a self-driving car from the East Coast over to Las Vegas, self-driving. Like, I'm sure they had a driver in the driver's seat, but
yeah.
Like the part of their whole thing was like the driver did very little. When it got near cities, they still didn't take control of the car. The car drove itself all the way through. Supposedly, I have no reason to doubt their claim. That's a pretty rad thing. But that's big stuff. And not everything has to be big to be at CES and be awesome. Consider a group made a solar-powered emergency flashlight. Now, why is this kind of a big deal? Because usually when you have like a spare lantern or a spare light in your emergency kit, oftentimes the batteries will get rated for something that needs it right then, and you don't need the light right then.
Yeah.
So they've made like a self-contained lighting unit that was intended to be, it was originally developed as a lantern, so it's kind of more omni-light, but fiddled with the lensing, so now it can make like a flashlight and still work as a lantern if you want it to, but it charges by being put out in the sun for a day or so. So like your emergency kit, I just take it out, put it out for a couple hours, put it back in, your battery's good to go, so on and so forth. Kind of a nice evolution of the things that we take for granted. Pull up two more, talk about two last ones. So there's, two new tablets from Toshiba. Now, what makes these interesting? One, they're inexpensive. Two, they run Windows. And I don't mean like scaled down, not really useful Windows. I mean like full Windows. And they have person-sensitive stylus. So it's if you've been salivating over a Microsoft Surface, any one of them, they now have...
I sure haven't.
There is now options that are not nearly as big, not quite as powerful, but they are that like 80% of what you might want to do. Like and they're like a 8-inch and I think a 10-inch, so they're not that far off from, or is it like 7 and 9? It's a slight scale difference.
Seven of nine.
No, they aren't in skin tight metallic clothing.
Made of board
well, they sort
technology.
Of are, probably.
I guess you could. Yes,
it's made of Borg technology.
No, there's no Borg technology in this. But it does have a nice stylus, and it's Wacom stylus, so it has
Wacom.
fight!
It will have good
fight.
Sensitivity and responsiveness to the screen and pressure sensitivity. And just as a personal one, that was pretty rad. There is a new electric powered longboard that showed up at the event.
Longboard, as in like surfing or street surfing?
Street surfing. Okay. It's and has basically it's the second version of the. The Z board, as they call it, and it's much slimmer, much more elegant. It's everything you would expect from the version 2 of a product. It's nicer, better developed. The paddles on the deck that kind of indicate when you want to go forward and go faster, or when you want to slow down and stop or reverse yourself, are easier to get to. They're more responsive. They also have safety lights on the trucks now. You have a light that goes forward, so you can see a little bit, but mostly others can see that you're coming. And there's red lights in the back, so it's just some nice enhancements and advancements. And you know, again, like CES is about things that are going to be vaporware, like some of these new TVs that are out.
16K.
There's
32K.
They're mostly going at 4K, but they're who was it? Wasn't Samsung
Curved K?
What it might have been LG is doing 5K plus TVs, and they like subdivided all of their pixels by half again. So it's like all sorts of crazy, insane technology that I can't begin to understand the engineering completely, but it's pretty cool. I don't know what or anything it will do. The one thing that I am glad to see is that 3D TVs have sort of phased out. We're now, because like, not that they were bad, they just were clunky, and no one's figured out a good way to do it just yet, and projectors are slightly better at it anyways. So.
I saw a 6K 3D TV that didn't require glasses.
So that's the key. It's like you either have to figure out where you don't need glasses, or it's something that like you just barely notice putting it on.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
apparently, it blew the authors of the article's mind, and I doubt if he was paid anything to say that.
Well, see, that there's still some out there, but it looks like the majority of the push has been towards 4K. So,
well, here's something that you don't have to pay for. Are you interested in free radio time? KSCU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. Email traffic at ksu.org with information on services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization. I think I also saw like 3D pizza or something. Someone ate like from 3D printed pizza or something.
Yeah, there's been some 3D printed food is one of the next things to be attacked by a 3D printing revolution. Oh, one last thing I got to throw out there because it's cool for the Xbox folks. The Dish Network owns the Sling system, which is, and the Sling Box is a way to connect back to your TV when you're not at your TV via the internet. And they're launching a new service called Sling TV. And as it is now, $20 a month, and you can get cable TV, effectively.
Get your butt in a sling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I forget what channels it was.
Yeah,
it's a handful of channels, and then it sounded like they would expand more later on.
Yeah, it will expand later on.
It's a lot of the geek cred channels, though, from what I remember. So, you got your Cartoon Network.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think ESPN was one of them.
Yeah, there was a smattering of pretty big name channels, and like as they can, they'll expand your package for a fairly reasonable fee, as in $5 per. Grouping is that's the proposal right now, but it's kind of rad because internet TV is like kind of like
the future,
but also it's like one of the first people that's actually gotten close to making like legitimate internet TV, where it's like it's not like Hulu was good, but it's Hulu. This is actual this is like literally taking TV and shunting it across the internet to your device. So that's kind of rad. And like I said, Xbox One owners will be given the option of trying it out free for a month.
Nice.
So There you are, then.
There were a couple things that I wanted to mention from CES, and they're completely car-related things. number one, the return of the NSX. I always thought it was an interesting car in concept, but I wasn't really a fan of the design, but the next generation of it is probably one of the most beautiful cars I've ever seen in my life. I want one so bad. Probably more than a Surface 3 at this point.
But one of those you can afford faster than the other.
Well, I mean, in theory, but who knows?
Dream big.
Right,
true.
I'm going to start doing those lottery tickets and whatnot. but anyway, the interesting thing about it is that it is a hybrid. And it's a hybrid with a twin turbo V6 as well that can produce 550 horsepower. Now, the cool thing about it in my book, as far as the tech angle on it, it literally has a dial that goes from quiet to track.
Nice.
So that you can have it be like weighted more towards the hybrid side or more towards the 550 horsepower side. That is awesome. That's what all hybrids need, in my view.
It's really not a bad idea. Like, if this catches on, I'm sure that will show up as a feature in some other ones, because, like, that's something that I think people would appreciate. It's like, I'm only on the freeway. Let's put a little more juice on it, and then once I'm up to speed, we can switch back to batteries.
Yeah. Hmm. The next one is the return of the Ford GT. If you look at it straight from the side, it looks a lot like the original Ford GT and latest generation of Ford GT. It's got 600 horsepower twin turbo engine. But the interesting thing about it to me is that the front section of it, it's sort of like a regular car turns into a teardrop, and then, if you can imagine this, like a snake's mouth is eating the tail end of the teardrop. Uh-huh. That's the basic design of this thing. So imagine like the snake's mouth is a bunch of vents.
Uh-huh.
So it ends up being a teardrop with a bunch of crazy like foils coming off of it that end up supporting the rear wheels. It's beautiful design. I mean, it kind of strains the brain at first, like, wait, what does that connect to and that? But yeah, it's really impressive. Beyond that, the one thing that I had heard a bunch of stuff early on about, and a lot of people were looking forward to, is the new generation of the Chevy Volt.
Yes.
Now, the last one I didn't really think was absolutely horrible, but of course, for a lot of people, it was looking a little bit too futuristic for their taste, especially since most people, they think of hybrid and they think Prius, and that's right. Their comfort zone. So this one, they kind of did sort of an interesting thing to me. They ended up sort of merging the rear end of a Prius with the 90s Toyota Celica. So it ends up having sort of this weird, like, halfway hybrid, halfway sporty back end to it. It doesn't look bad, but I'm not completely sold on it.
Yeah, if you can see my face, it's the face of, what am I trying to imagine?
Right.
But
it doesn't sound as cool as Snake eating a teardrop.
It's like the image, it's like on Conan O'Brien, if they made it, like, and my brain is putting these two images together and just getting a red X going, no, does not compute.
Yeah. It's a nice looking car, though. I think it is an upgrade, and I think it'll get the attention of more people. And it looks like they've weighted a little bit more heavily towards the power plant. It sounds like they're still going towards the idea of generator versus actual engine, which is still an interesting idea, and as far as I know, the only car that's doing that. But interesting stuff.
Cool. Yeah, and we'll have links to all these, since a lot of this stuff is visual.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go and check it out. Caleb will post them on our Facebook and tweet them out during our next music break, which we will take right now, and then we will come back with the remaining of the show talking in the core.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be back with more Robots Attack right after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. and check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Congress.gov. The Library of Congress has unveiled Congress.gov. It's a new website that will eventually replace Thomas.gov as the government's site for accessing free, fact-based legislative information. The Congress.gov site includes bill status and summary bill text, House and Senate member profiles, and a number of new features, including effective display on mobile devices. To learn more, you can visit Congress.gov.
You are now entering the core.
That's right. Welcome to the core here on Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara. Now, before we get into our topic, we have a tweet from one of our lovely listeners directed at Jason. Mm-hmm. Jason, that was the weirdest description of a car I've ever heard. LOL, teardrop being eaten by a snake, question mark, exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I stand by my words.
It is an unusual shape when you see the pictures, too. And you're like, interesting.
And if you just tuned in now and you're like, what is he talking about? You can go back to our
tears.
car tears. Where can they go to check out?
You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or to twitter.com/robotsattackme or both if you prefer. Both of all of our store links are there right now, or they will be in the next minute or so.
While I ramble on about our topic of the night of the core, I'm going to discuss New Year's resolutions.
All right.
Sweet.
I know this wasn't a super exciting topic, but
what do you
mean? I figured since it's the beginning of the year, better do it now before it turns
right
into February or March, and then it just kind of goes on. And
that's
it's like,
when I would have chosen to do it.
It doesn't really fit. It's like June.
It's about the time that I get around to actually trying to do a New Year's resolution.
Well,
so
we'll get into that. First, we'll have a little history. Mm. According to Wikipedia, little disclaimer. The New Year's resolution is a tradition most common in the Western Hemisphere, but also found in the Eastern Hemisphere, in which a person makes a promise to do an act of self-improvement or something slightly nice, such as opening doors for people, beginning from New Year's Day. There's also some religious origins. The Babylonians made promises to their gods at the start of each year that they would return borrowed objects and pay their debts. Hmm. The Romans began each year by making promises to the god Janus, for whom the month of January is named.
Yeah.
The medieval era, the knights took the peacock vow at the end of the Christmas season each year to reaffirm their commitment to chivalry. At watch night services, many Christians prepare for the year ahead by praying and making these resolutions. There are other religious parallels to this tradition. During Judaism's New Year, Rosh Hashanah, through the high holidays, and culminating on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. One is to reflect upon one's wrongdoings over the year and both seek and offer forgiveness. People may act similarly during the Christian season of Lent, though the motive behind this holiday is more,
right.
is more of sacrifice than of responsibility. Well, it's all magical stuff, so, you know. The practice of New Year's resolutions partially came from the Lenten sacrifices. The concept, regardless of creed, is to reflect upon self-improvement annually. So, on that note, I ask, does anyone have any New Year's resolutions?
No.
Do you believe in them? Or are they just kind of like, eh? Like, did you ever have them in the past, or?
Yeah, I've done it before. And actually, I do have one for this year, and it's to be more appreciative of when I receive gifts. Because I have this bad habit of, like, not that I don't appreciate the gift, but like,
yeah,
being more obvious about how much I do appreciate. Like, sometimes, like I get a cool book or whatever, and like, it'll sit for like months, and then I have to like wipe the dust off it before I use it again. It's like, I should really, like, someone cared enough about me, about what I like and what I'm into, to get me something like this. I should start to use it like it was intended to be used, which is to be filled with, you know, words, drawings, whatever, or like to be read and enjoyed and stuff like that. So
oh, okay.
being like taking it when the spirit which was given, and also to, you know, pass along if need be, or if I can to others, kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, see, I thought you meant like when, you know, someone gives you a gift, like say like, oh, thank you, like that, showing that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I get you now.
Yeah, and
it's pretty good.
Yeah.
There's some depth involved in that thinking.
Mm-hmm.
How do you plan on achieving said resolution?
Very good point. Because that's one of the first things about that I remember, like, about the tips about how to keep like New Year's resolution is like have an achievable goal. Like, now any goal needs to be like written down and have and some like concrete step where it's like, yes, when you have done this, you have achieved your goal. So yes, very good point. How will I do this? One of the things that comes to mind is like sometimes, you know, it's not uncommon to get gift cards as part of like things like trying to take it to use them in a timely manner. Like, because like at Christmas time, I opened my bag and realized that I had cards in there for my birthday. And that's in August.
Okay.
It's been a little while. It's like, you know, I really should be better about like enjoying the things that people have given me so I to enjoy. It's like, you know, we like you, we appreciate you, here's a token of our of something we think you would be, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, being things like, you know, trying to be more cognizant of how I can enjoy, like, and get to that sooner, because like, you know, you don't want to like let it sit for a while and then like, you know, 6 months to a year later, like, oh yeah, I did that thing that you did for me.
Yeah.
I finally got that. I'm like, well, I almost forgot that you even got that. Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see with the gift card thing, I'll sometimes have a tendency of like, okay, I'll save this for like something in particular, maybe, or like, well, okay, I shouldn't use it on this kind of thing or something.
Yeah.
And then it ends up just sitting there. And
exactly.
Just like you said, when it would be better just, hey, if you see something that you want or you think you can use it.
Yes.
You know?
That's, I mean, that's what it's there for. So appreciate it for what it's there for, kind of thing.
I mean, obviously, unless you had like certain plan, like, okay, well, I can use this towards like this bigger purchase that I'm like, you know, saving up for. Then obviously, like, hey, you know, if you got a plan that you know you're going to follow through with, then boom.
Yeah, definitely.
So I turned it to you, Jason. So you said you don't have any. Is there a particular reason? Do you just not? You've ever done them before, or?
Not often, and yeah, the times that I have generally met with such horrifying disaster in my goals that it really hasn't, yeah, so.
Are they just because you just weren't able to follow through with them, or you were able to follow through and it just didn't turn out the way you'd hoped, or?
All of the above.
Okay. I mean, is there a way you think that, cause I know for, you know, one of the ways they recommend is like, don't keep it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, I want to accomplish this, but if I just keep it to myself, like you're most likely just going to fail at it. Like it's better to confide with somebody, share it with somebody that maybe can help you, like, encourage you. I mean, it's hard. Obviously, there's some stuff that, you know, maybe you do want to keep to yourself if it's private or something. But
right.
In the long run, it's better to
have an accountability partner of some sort.
Yeah, like I'll throw out one of mine that I'm doing for this year is now my goal is set at 12.
Okay,
I want to read 12 books this year.
Right on.
I'm already almost done with the first one, but I'm kind of thinking that, well, 12 might be a bit much. And one of the things I recommend is don't try to go for some crazy, you know, thing. Like a big popular one is lose weight. And it's just like, don't pick like, I want to lose 300 pounds. Like, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
Pick a smaller amount. But so I think maybe 12 might be a bit much because I don't do a whole lot of reading that I used to. So I'm thinking like, maybe I should have set it at 6, but I'm going to go with the 12, and if I get like 6 or 7, I won't be like, I'll be bummed that I didn't get the 12, but I won't be super disappointed because I'll be like, oh, hey, I almost got there. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good for barely reading maybe one a year, you know? So that's definitely one. My other one is I lost 20 pounds last year.
Congratulations.
So, thank you.
Good job.
And so I want to stick with that. And so this time I'm doing, I did like different sections of them doing like P90X3. Mm-hmm. And they have like different programs in it.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm doing the doubles one now.
Okay.
Because I noticed like, I noticed that plateau that everyone talked about. Like, oh, when you hit that, you know, plateau, you just start maintaining. You don't start like really losing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, it's like, okay, I'm starting to hit that. I need to change. I need to pick the other one. And so I'm trying that one. Like I just started it tonight. And so I like it. So I should be able to stick with it. But, but yeah, those are a couple things, as well as like the standard stuff of like trying to find a better job and that sort of thing. I always have those certain ones that are like always there like trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just kind of wanted to like actually try to stick with some this year, but then find out like, I mean, I don't mean to pry on Jason, but since he is the only one that doesn't have any, if there's
it's part of another thing too, is that my family has never been big in a lot of the traditional things. And so it's just not ingrained in my personality to try and do stuff like this. I mean, part of it, why I've tried it in the past is just because everybody else is doing it type of thing. And that's not really a big enough thing for me that everybody else is doing.
Yeah. Like another one is I'd like to like take this show more seriously, like start focus, like get us on tack of doing stuff and that sort of thing.
More promotion and stuff like that.
Yeah. Just in general, just, you know, try to get the stuff that we've mentioned done for the show. And, so I'm just curious, like, is there anything that you want to do more of? Like,
habits you want to improve as opposed to a resolution.
Okay. Well,
I mean, it could be anything. It's from like, is there like, I want to play more of this type of game, or I want to play less of this, or I want to draw more. I want to do like other certain things. And
the drawing thing is definitely something that, like, without even doing a New Year's resolution, I kind of ended up pursuing that myself in the last little while. So I think part of it is just it's ingrained in humanity to kind of do it when a new year pops up anyway.
Yeah.
Without making it official, like putting the ring on or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because I realized personally that back when I was in school, I always felt a little bit weird about spending a whole bunch of money on the high-end art supplies. And now I have not tons of money, but it's gotten to the point where the high-end stuff is reachable. And so the big thing back when I was in school was Copic markers.
Ah, yes.
Because they're really nice, and they're really expensive. But they've made reasonable knockoffs over the years, and so I'd always go for them. And I just got it in my head, I'm going to try out some real ones. And quickly ran into the problem, well, I need the right paper, which I actually just had delivered to me today. And then, well, I need the official, like, inking pens, which will be delivered on Friday.
Nice.
So, yeah, and the bad part about it for me is a lot of the things that I pursue end up becoming, like, a big price tag instead.
Yeah.
And it's nice for, like, trying to explore things and see if something bites you that you really want to move forward on, but it's expensive. Since most of my stuff is artistic stuff, like a long time ago, and I actually just ended up selling this to Jay not so long ago, I decided to grab a nice Wacom pad because I'd always had the cheap ones, and so I went and got a good one. I think it was a similar sort of thing, like beginning of the year, but yeah, that wasn't cheap either, and it was a similar thing where, well, it's nice, but my computer can't really even get it to its full potential, so bought a new computer. So yeah, at this point I'm staring at that computer, and it's a very nice computer, but in this day and age I don't use a computer for like anything, even though it's a very powerful computer. And now it's to the point where, well, I could get a peripheral that ends up being another monitor with the Wacom thing plugged into it, but that's crazy expensive. Or I can get a whole new computer that does it, like, all built in for a little bit cheaper than that and does it very nicely, to the point that a lot of artists are completely changing how they do their stuff at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, it's sort of dethroning Mac in a lot of people's eyes as the art computer. And so I sort of feel like riding that bus too. But for now, I decided the cheapest way to do my version of this stuff is buy some markers.
Nice. Yeah. And so to wrap it up, how do you plan to stick with the goal or whatever it is to...
Yeah,
are create we gonna, more artwork or
are we start gonna seeing more pictures on Tumblr?
Oh man.
You don't have to, I'm just saying.
Well, that's the thing too. It's still, like I said, it's not really a New Year's resolution. It's a New Year's it's a resolution to explore, in my view. That's mm-hmm. because whenever I try and force myself into artwork stuff, it ends up getting me tired of it really, really fast. Mm-hmm. And it ends up putting me in a bad place artistically.
Mm.
I know that sounds like completely and totally like, oh, pinky in the air. My artistic feelings are not in the right place. But it just doesn't work is what it comes down to. So,
yeah. Mostly, I would like to see your experimentations. That's all I'm saying. You don't have to put them out there. I'm just saying I would like to see them.
Fine.
I'm sure there's.
I'll show off how awesome I am if I have to.
There you go.
Yes,
you did it, Caleb. You did it. Encouragement.
Achievement unlocked.
Right.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for tonight's show mm-hmm. here on KSU Santa Clara. For Robots Attack, myself, Joe, and Caleb,
mm-hmm.
and Jason. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. with more Robots Attack. We want you to have a lovely weekend. And before we get out of here, mm-hmm. one final note.
Yes, if you wish to get in contact with us about what you've heard or something you would like to hear or what have you, you can do that at facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those are the two fastest ways to get a hold of us. If you want a reliable way to get a hold of us, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. That is also a good way. And finally, if you want to catch up, if you like what you've heard tonight and you want to hear more of it, we have an archive of our shows on robotsattack.me. We also have links to our stories there as well, so you can pick them up there too.
That's right. And if you have any New Year's resolutions, or if you believe in them, don't believe in them, if you have some tips on how you've stuck with them, made them work, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be awesome.
Totally.
To see if you have any cool ways to stick with it stuff, because I know I'm going to need some help sticking with mine, and I'm sure the rest of us will as well. Maybe if it helps not calling it a New Year's resolution.
Yeah. Just life goal or something.
Yeah. Just something you want to do more of.
Mm-hmm. I like this habit. Let's do more of it.
Exactly. All right. That's going to do it for Robots Attack. Take it easy, everybody.
Raccoon. Veronica.